Check out our website at www.thefantasyamateurs.com.
On this edition of the Nasty Cast, we go over the off-season trades and signings that have gone down since our last podcast. We also dive further into the 2017 Dynasty Mock Draft and look at the picks that we like and dislike the most and go into our own teams in detail.
What is this, a fantasy baseball podcast?
Yes!
That's all we talk about on this podcast is interesting things. Jesse, go toss a potato.
Here lies Joe. He died wearing braces.
Be interesting when she has her heavy flow at times.
It's not Nick Nolte.
That damn dirty ape.
You're going to blow Arkansas?
The Hindenburger cheese.
We follow the golden rule.
I'm in a league with the Pope.
Could have been an accountant.
Replace the baseballs with hand grenades.
Thor, he's like Jesus, but for people from Norway.
Eating ain't cheating.
Hello and welcome into episode 98 of the Nasty Cast Fantasy Baseball Podcast, brought to you by thefantasyamateurs.com. I am Nathan Dockin. You can find me on Twitter at Nathan Dockin. You can also find my work at Fantastics Insider Baseball. And I am joined today by a man who is trying to replace goodbye with fuck off, Joe Osachi.
Just like in the lexicon, you mean?
Yeah, instead of, we talked about this, like if you're trying to...
Just oh, in real life?
Yeah. Like, instead of saying goodbye when a conversation is over and you're leaving, you're just like, all right, off.
Yeah, I think we did. Although I can't really remember how that came up. I think it had involved with me talking to that one crazy guy that lives on my route. Wasn't that why it started? I
don't remember. I barely remember the actual conversation.
Yet you're bringing it up now, yeah, because I totally don't remember the conversation. But anyway, yeah, I would. That would be great. I just think people should say that. And it just seems like that's kind of the way we're going.
Well, yeah. Sooner. Well, with the timely send-offs.
I don't mean just on our podcast. I just mean like in general.
Yes.
Why
I
not?
I know of which you speak. I've, you know, the Trump did it today, and maybe I should change my send-off. You know,
instead. Is that what he did? He just said "fuck off" at the end of the speech?
Well, no, he said you're fired, according to Jesse. Anyway, I have yet to see it, but that's what...
It seems almost impossible that he would do something that stupid, but wait a minute, never mind. Sounds about right.
Easy, let's not get political.
But, I didn't say anything political, I just said some things are stupid.
That is true. But I mean, how much better would it sound if instead of every week saying, may the fantasy gods shine upon you, I just said, all right, see you next week.
I mean, I don't know, but I know Jesse's not going to like any of this.
That's true.
And I doubt you've been writing down the times.
No, we'll just try to keep all the F-bombs clustered into this beginning part here. What's your favorite send-off? Email us, thefantasyamateurs@gmail.com. Also, if you want to buy a t-shirt, go to thefantasyamateurs.com. We have them there. There are a few left. And also, if you enjoy the show, please rate and review the podcast on the iTunes, because we will love you a long time.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Also, did I say Twitter? We're on Twitter at Fantasy Amateurs. And also, hopefully, my voice sounds okay. I got this new mic that I'm testing out for the first time. So if it sounds like crap, take it easy on us. We will... try to figure out the settings. Joe and I are far from technical wizards, and our illustrious Chupatka, Jesse Jordan, not here with us right now. He's actually at his real job.
I think that all that it is that's different is it sounds kind of more like, did you ever, like on an old podcast this happened, you know, because at the beginning, even if you were on ESPN, you were really, the technology was pretty terrible. And then like when Barry would call in on that one, for instance, you just kind of get used to the sound of their voice when it sounds crappy. And then when they use like the fancy, really good mics and all that stuff, then it basically just sounds more like your real actual voice.
Yeah.
But sometimes you don't like people's real actual voice. So that's the only thing that could be the problem. Maybe people won't like your real actual voice.
What are you trying to say, Joe?
I mean, I didn't say that I don't like your real actual
Seems
voice.
To
I'm
be
just
what
saying.
You're implying.
No, I'm not really. Not really. Kind of. I'd say I'm insinuating it. And the only reason I'd say that is because I'm not 100% sure what insinuate means, so it seems safe.
far be it for me to correct you on the word insinuate. So we're going to do something here. Oh, crap, actually. We got an email to tell you that we're going to do right now, but hey, we're going to find out what's in the box.
What's in the box? What's in the box?
Okay, so we got an email from our buddy Miles. He says, "Hello, amateurish friends. I am embarking on a new adventure this season. From your extensive experience and or educated opinions, can you tell me how you would approach a league like this differently than a standard 12 team?" He proceeds to list that it is a 15-team league with deep rosters, two catchers, five outfielders, seven bench, 30-man rosters, all told 450 players are rostered. It's a weekly lineup league, no pitching max limits. Live draft in January, which is very early. 20 games played per position, so a strict position eligibility requirements, not liberal like Yahoo. It's a redraft league, roto, standard 5x5 with fab. However, no trades are allowed. He says, "Each of those listed aspects is pretty new to me. Please mention if you have a strategy for assembling your bench in a league like this." So this is basically like the dynasty settings.
Except for the no trades part.
Right, yeah. And I would never be in a league without trading. That's like my favorite part of fantasy baseball. But that aside, like I said, that's pretty much the dynasty settings. And that's my jam as far as I'm not sure exactly what your perfect league is like, but I think that's the sweet spot of fantasy baseball is 15 teams, 30-man rosters.
I like that, yeah. I think shallower leagues can be fun as well, but yeah, that's about right for me.
Yeah.
Like, actually, even I like only leagues too. Like, they're like a 10-team AL only that we've done, like, that's really fun as well. But oh, sure. For mixed leagues, I think probably 15 teams would be the way I'd prefer.
Yeah, I like them all well enough. But this is definitely my favorite. So as opposed to a 10 or 12 team league, how does your draft strategy and in-season strategy differ?
Okay, well, I don't think it really does, to be perfectly honest with you. The fact that there's no trades means that you're going to that's the biggest thing that it changes to me. I mean, whether it's 15 team or 12 team or 10 team, you still have to get good players. You can kind of in a 10 team league be more like shooting for the fence or shooting for the stars. I don't know. What's that phrase?
Shooting for the fence, I think, is correct.
Okay, good. I thought so. So you can do that more in a 10-team league. And here, you know, you got to kind of make sure, like, you got to make sure you get some saves or whatever. You got to make sure you lock up some categories because you can't trade for them. But the only thing I thought of when I read this is that one thing I think just one of the rules that stuck out to me is no pitching max limits. So one of the things I think I might do, and I've never done it, but I've seen it done and I've seen it work, is draft a couple closers and all offense for like the first 10 rounds or more, and then just pile on the crappy starters and the innings eaters and you and just try and win saves, strikeouts, quality starts, wins, or whatever it is. Just know you're going to dominate those three categories and then try and draft hitting and see if you can win that way. And I think with no pitching limits, I think it's a viable strategy. I've seen it done and I've seen it work where guys are just rolling out, you know, fourth and fifth starters, but they just are piling up the strikeouts because they have so many more innings than everybody.
Well, yeah, Ryan won the prestigious Dynasty Baseball League last year.
But he had mostly good starting pitchers. I mean, a couple crappy ones, but...
Right, yeah. But, yeah, it definitely worked for him doing that.
Well, yeah, he just out-inninged everybody. I mean, he had so many more strikeouts than people that there was no point in even attempting to catch him.
No, yeah, he was light years ahead of everybody else. I will say, as far as drafting my bench players... What I do in that format is I pretty much just load up on relief pitchers that are going to stabilize my ratios and also are sort of the closer handcuffs. And you definitely run into a lot more saves that way when you just have all the best handcuffs. So that's a different way to go about it than just piling up the starters. But I only leave myself with either zero or just one. Like bench bats, and then it just the rest is pitching, and I'll just swap out whatever non-save candidates are on that day for you know, for the starting pitchers, so you can get at those wins or quality starts, whatever your category. Oh, standard 5x5 would be wins then. So, you know, and then having all those closer handcuffs, you know, the 7th, 8th inning guys, those guys get stupid wins sometimes too, so...
Well, that's true, yeah. I mean, if you're going for the more of attack the ratios a little bit, you can also, I mean, you can do the, you can kind of try and finagle the pitching categories one of, either way. You can either like draft an ace and then totally ignore it and then just get a bunch of setup men and closers, and then you can win saves and ERA and whip. So, I mean, you can win three of those pitching categories almost just kind of by almost gaming the system a little bit. And as long as you can, as long as you can really own on offense, that can work. But then you don't leave yourself much room for margin for error on offense.
Yeah, yeah. It's and you do miss out on some good bats that come along, you know, by not rostering any bench bats. But and then with two catchers, me personally, I try and get one catcher that just doesn't suck. Like I try to get one top 12 starting catcher, and then the second catcher is just whatever kind of dog crap is left over later at the end of the draft.
It's hard to find one good catcher, period.
Yeah, that's true. It really is. But so anyway, oh, also this live draft in January, my God, that is early. And it's tough drafting like closers.
Well, yeah, you just really don't know yet. The other thing I would say too is just since there's no trading and you're going to kind of want to get a every, like, it's nice to be able to give your team a boost at some point. I would say that it's not a bad idea to draft like a rookie or two that might come up, you know, that might start the year, because you have 7 bench spots, you can afford to do it. So draft, you know, if you might want to be the guy that drafts Moncada and just have him there as a, you know, a thing that could really give your team a boost if he does come up.
Certainly. Yep. So now we are going to move on to the previous hot stove transactions that have occurred since the last time we recorded, which was actually a long time ago. We were supposed to record this, like, God, I don't know, a while ago. But, like, the worst winter of all time continues to suck. And it's really,
yeah,
it's really affected our lives. It's been a record-setting snowfall and endless cold. You spend every day just blowing out your damn driveway.
Which I have to go do that after we're done with this, by the way.
And replace a mailbox, apparently.
I guess, yeah. It's apparently somebody decided to knock her down.
Yeah,
so, the other night.
So yeah, what do you do? It's just been miserable. So we're turning back to baseball again to warm us up. Jesse, cue that hot stove sizzle. You hear that?
Probably not. If I had to guess, I would say he didn't put the sound effect in.
Either way, we're not going to hear it now because that will be edited in post. So, by the way, what we're doing on this show, we're going to do the hot stove transactions in the first half, and then we're going to talk more Dynasty League stuff after the break. Just basically the picks that we loved and hated, and going over our own teams and Jesse's team. And then in the next episode, we're going to be talking to some of the experts that partook in the draft. And then the one after that will be the century mark, Joe, episode 100.
Oh. And,
so that's going to be our annual, well, our second annual minor league rookie draft for Dynasty Leagues.
I see.
So look out for that, and I've been working on a special treat for that one as well.
It seems like you've been working on a lot of treats these days.
You know, I like to put on the apron, make some scotcheroos, and I like to layer them on top of a fudge brownie with marshmallow fluff in between.
Wow. I've never actually seen you make any baked goods at all, but I
don't bake at all.
Yeah, I didn't think so.
Speaking of baking, let's see, the Nationals must have been baking something. They traded Lucas Giolito, Ronaldo Lopez, and Dane Dunning for Adam Eaton. So the general consensus here is that the Nationals sort of got took. What do you think, Joe?
Well, yeah, but I just in terms of, like, I don't care. Like we said, we're just going to talk about value up or down for the players. So, I mean, yeah, sure, maybe they lose. But Adam Eaton, I'd say it's value up. He goes to a better offense, and he can hit leadoff there. They can not have Ben Revere leadoff for them anymore, the Nationals, that is, so that's a plus. So, I mean, I'd say it's value up for Eaton. And, you know, for Giolito, he goes to a bad park. You know, but they're a team that's totally rebuilding now and has a bunch of young arms. So, I mean, it's probably going to get a shot to be in the big league rotation this season.
Oh, I think for sure. We'll see him at some point. Hopefully he was better than last year. He got freaking knocked around pretty good last year.
He did.
Yeah, he was just bad. And, I've heard a lot of people criticizing why everybody's so low. I think the Nationals sort of sold low on him. Seems like they lost faith. He was just bad overall last year. His curveball was really good, but his fastball just sucked. It was basically straight as an arrow. If you were just trying to follow his numbers and saying that he got unlucky last year, you're just flat out wrong. You weren't watching, because 282 fastballs he threw last year, 1176 OPS against his fastball last year, 381 ISO. And that thing was just straight as an arrow. There's all this fancy new StatCast stuff that I've liked to look into. And he was basically, either you want really high spin rates on your fastball for sort of that rise ball effect, or really low RPMs, a low spin rate to get more of the sinking action, induce grounders and all kinds of stuff. He was perfectly average, which means that it didn't really go anywhere. And so that's why I wasn't missing any bats. It wasn't getting it was getting crushed. So I think that he's got some work to do, but I'm also fairly confident that he can rebound. Don Cooper is the pitching coach over there in Chicago, and he's done wonders with that staff. So I think I would still buy low on Giolito, but this year in redraft leagues, I don't think I'm too interested. I kind of want to see it first.
Yeah, you could send a keeper league, dynasty league type lowball offer, but I think everyone's going to be interested to see what he does on his new team and if he can turn it around or not.
Well, that's the thing too. I mean, I don't even think that a lowball offer, everybody in the fantasy community, as far as I've seen, is still really high on him. So I don't even think a lowball offer is going to work.
And plus, it's just always when a player changes his teams, especially if he struggled in his last location, everyone wants to see if the change of scenery is going to help turn him around. So, I mean, even though you probably should get him for a little bit of a discounted price because he was so bad last year, it's possible that you won't get that just due to the unknown of, is Don Cooper going to fix him?
Yeah. Okay. The Red Sox also sent Clay Buchholz to the Phillies for infielder Josh Tobias. So Clay Buchholz, Joe.
Those Phillies fans, they just keep getting luckier and luckier. things couldn't be better. Finally, now they have an ace, I guess.
Yeah.
Every staff needs a number one, and now they've got theirs.
I was so worried that the Twins were going to do something. I mean, I like to give the new regime a benefit of the doubt for the Twins. But man, if the old one was still around, I swear, I knew they were going to trade for Buchholz.
You know, it's the weirdest thing, though. He had that one, half a season where he pitched like Pedro Martinez. But, I mean, if anybody trusts Clay Buchholz at this point, I don't think anybody does. So it's not even worth discussing.
Yeah.
Everybody, because even if he pitches well, he's going to get hurt.
Yeah, he gets hurt all the time, and it seems like the first time, he seems like a bit of a head case. Like the first time anybody squares him up, he just seems rattled.
He falls apart. Yeah, he can have those dominant outings where nothing goes wrong, and then he's great. But then, like you said, he's just prone to these 5, 6, 7, 8 earned run outings. And I mean, he has a lot of, if you could look at his game log from last year, there's a lot of zeros in there. Well, that's probably because he pitched out of the bullpen for most of the season. So,
yeah.
And a lot of those are still, he gave up 3 runs in an inning.
Yeah. So, I mean,
last year it was a lost season for him. I mean, he's, it was so bad that he got pulled out of the rotation. Mm-hmm. He's just so inconsistent that I can't trust him at all.
No. Yeah. I'm saying NL only. If you're in a 15 team league and he's a late round flyer, then I would be interested. I don't know if he's going to go that low. We're talking about, with Miles joining that 15 team league, that's the kind of difference, like a guy like Clay Buchholz, he's going to be probably on somebody's bench in a 15 team league, as opposed to being completely irrelevant for the most
part,
10 or 12 team leagues.
You're never even going to think about picking him up other than for a spot start, and then you're going to drop him immediately. But yeah, he might guys that are even, that have any pedigree at all, that have ever done anything at all, are usually owned. And if you're going to find a waiver wire pitcher like that, they need to be totally off the radar, or you need to be really paying attention. You know, like some random doofbag has a one good start, and you know, if you really believe in him, you better pick him up right away.
Right. Doofbag should be somebody's name. But yeah, so I mean, there's just a switch to the NL is probably value up, and the fact that he's going to be starting. But
yeah, I mean, that's the only reason I would maybe think about it, taking him this year, like you said, if you're in a 15-team league, because, you know, it's nice to strike out pitchers.
Okay, the Diamondbacks send Peter O'Brien to the Royals for minor league right-hander Sam Lewis. So are you into the Peter O'Brian at all? I don't know if you think the value is up, down, or the same. But
well, it's probably down. It's bad ballpark. I mean, the Royals Park really is bad, and it, you know, it's way better.
It's cavernous, Joe.
Tis. So yeah, that's probably value down. But he wasn't getting to play in Arizona. He can maybe DH for the Royals a little bit. The Royals need some pop. They don't have Billy Butler there anymore. Fatten it up out of the DH spot. So
fatten it up.
Oh, yeah,
country breakfast.
Yeah, so I'd say that's probably value up for him, because really I haven't looked at the Royals depth chart to see if he would really have a chance, but if he DHs there, he could be interesting.
Yeah, he's one of those guys who, to me, he's been consistently overrated in the fantasy community just because you know, he's got such raw power, but his plate discipline is just horrendous. Doesn't walk, strikes out all the time. His sample sizes at the major league levels are pretty much worthless, but you know, 40% K rate is not going to do the trick. So
no, he's just someone that has that light tower power, whatever the. I'm really not good at expressions. I think that's what it is, though.
Right? That is correct. Yes.
Okay.
He aims for the fence. I was trying to think of.
He's really only out there to hit home runs, but like we saw him. We saw him at the Futures game, and like he definitely has a ton of power. He was like second most impressive power hitter behind Joey Gallo thing.
I remember we showed up to that BP for the Futures game, and he was out there, and we weren't really paying. We were sort of tucking amongst ourselves. We're like, who the hell is this guy? I have no idea. And then he started just crushing balls all over the park, and we're like, who the hell is this guy?
Yeah.
And we basically had a race to their waiver wires to
and he was ready. But...
Right, yeah. But I'm really not interested in O'Brien. I don't think he's going to have the play discipline to be owned in like standard leagues. He just has such work to do. He's already 26 years old. I'm just out on him.
Fair enough.
The Cubs sent Jorge Soler to the Royals for Wade Davis. So let's start with Jorge Soler. What do you think of the value for him?
Well, if he would have actually gotten to play in Chicago, it'd be value down, but he didn't, and he wasn't going to, like, not on the full-time basis, so it's value up just because I think he's going to probably get a full-time, you know, at least he has a better chance of getting a full-time job in Kansas City, I'll put it that way, because the Cubs are so loaded. But ballpark's bad. He didn't really have 30 home run power anyway. I certainly don't think he'll have it in Kansas City, because it's really sapped a lot of guys' power. You know, and I mean, Kansas City's never really had any big, huge power hitters, but it seems like nobody can get over about 25 home runs there, no matter what. But, I mean, you could like him for maybe he offers you some kind of 15-15 potential, and if he gets to hit near the top of the lineup. So it's probably value up. I think that I'm more interested in Wade Davis, I guess, just what happens with him. Is he still going to be an elite closer, or is he going to fall apart due to the arm issues? Because they were pretty worrisome to me last year. But apparently, the Cubs think he's fine. So,
yeah, I mean, I guess we don't have to talk too much about the MLB. Like, I would never trade a Jorge Soler for Wade Davis. You know, just a reliever, and you know, versus a young cost control guy. But I'm not even convinced that Wade Davis is going to be super elite. He just really fell off last year.
Strikeouts weren't there last year like they had been.
No, that's the thing, and his walks went up as well. He still finished with a pretty sweet 1.87 ERA.
His ERA is always around 1, and his WHIP is always around 1. I mean, he is amazing, but it does seem like, if you look at 2014, it was 109 strikeouts and 72 innings, and now, you know, he's truly dominant that year, and he's kind of come back to the come back to earth a little bit. Now
yeah,
he's like,
he went from elite to sort of mediocre as far because I mean like every
as far as relievers go, yeah. most bullpen guys strike out a batter per inning.
Exactly. Yeah, that's the norm now, and a lot of them have better control than the 3.32 walks per nine that he had last year. So yeah, and then with the arm injury, I don't know. He's definitely down on the list now as far as closers that I want to draft.
But, yeah, I mean, he was like considered to be. He was in consideration for number one last year. I mean, I don't think he usually wasn't taken there, but I think he was. Some people suggest that he could be in like this year. He was definitely top five last year. This year, I don't think you could even consider taking him until like after the top 15 closers.
No.
Yeah.
Okay. Nate Carnes has been sent to the Royals in return for Jared Dyson. So
a lot of Royals moves.
Oh, they've been busy.
I guess. You know, Nate Carnes is interesting to me. I mean, I don't know if it's value up or anything because Seattle was a good place to pitch to, but I'm interested in Nate Carnes this year. And Jared Dyson, I mean, you know, he's like a fourth outfielder speed guy, so
yeah.
He's an AL-only guy to me.
Right, yeah. He was better last year. He did improve his plate discipline, but yeah, really, I mean, he's 32 years old, and I don't think there's any real upside for him at this point. You're just getting him for cheap steals towards the end of the draft. Carnes, he does have a lot of work to do. Still 4.29 walks per nine last year. A 5.15 ERA, but his FIP was 4.05. So, you know, he got pretty unlucky there. He's still not a guy that I'm really interested in.
Like Clay Buchholz, if you're in a 15-team league late round, you know, I mean, he's a guy that I'm interested in as one of my late round start. Not that I'd be more interested in Carnes than the Buchholz. I mean, not. We said it's the norm for relievers to strike out a batter per inning because it is, but it isn't the norm for starting pitchers to do that, and he does. So, you know, if you can strike out a batter per inning as a starter, and your big problem is just that you walk everybody, at some point it can click, and then if you start to cut down on the walks, then you got a dominant starter on your hands. So I kind of want to learn the lesson from last year of there was two guys that came from you just being given up on to being dominant, and you know we had both Danny Duffy and who is the Mariners guy, but yeah, and he eventually fell off. But
Paxton.
The guys that have been kind of given up for dead because they had struggled, and then all of a sudden they went on a tear. You know, Paxton, I think he kind of faded down the stretch, but I mean, he had a stretch.
Yeah.
But I mean, James Paxton had a stretch where he looked like a top 20 starter in the league there. So, you know, guys that have talent like that can strike out a better printing. I just don't want to give up on them too early.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, when the ADP comes out, I guess we'll see where he's sitting at. I would do him in the late rounds. Looking at his swinging strike rate, he bumped it up to 10.9% last year, which is really, really nice. So you will at least get the strikeouts from him. So you just got to harness that control a little bit. And yeah, you're right. He could be really good. So.
Yeah, I mean, I just feel like there's been a couple of these guys that we have high hopes for. They come up, they suck, and then you kind of were like, well, yeah, but we've seen him. He sucks. But it just sometimes takes a couple of years before they figure it out in the big leagues.
Yeah, God, he is 29. Jeez, that's older than I thought he was.
It was kind of old. But both Paxton and Duffy were old when they had their breakout.
Yeah, that's true. I had definitely given up on Duffy.
Oh, but, yeah.
Okay, Joe, that thing that I emailed you?
Sure.
You want to pull that up now? Because
all right.
Our final trade, we've clustered all the trades together here. It was Yovani Gallardo to the Mariners in return for Seth Smith going back to the Orioles. And, you know, rather than kind of doing our stupid fantasy analysis just on these two players, I thought that it would be more beneficial for the listeners to just listen to the actual transcript that I managed to acquire from Dan Duquette. And what's his stupid name?
You have it in the script.
And Jerry DePoto. There we go. I forgot his name for a second there. But yeah.
Is there a reason that I couldn't see this beforehand and I could have rehearsed my lines, but okay.
No.
Needed to be a secret, you said.
Yes.
Okay.
I didn't want to spoil it for you. So, like I said, the Orioles GM, Dan Duquette. I'll play Dan Duquette. And you will play Mariners' general manager, Jerry DePoto.
Yeah, I wouldn't have it any other way. That's okay. Really, so it's been the role I've always wanted.
Yeah, it seems like a weird trade, so this is how it went down. So, okay. Bring, bring.
Hello.
Hey, Jerry.
Is this Anthony Rizzo?
No, sorry, I just ate some meatballs. It's me, Dan Duquette.
Oh, Christ. What do you want, Dan?
Well, funny you should ask. I've got this great pitcher, Giovanni Gallardo. He'd be a terrific fit for your rotation.
No.
Come on, he's great. He's young and durable.
Yeah, he's almost 31, and he made just 23 starts last year.
I really feel like you're finally getting into your own character right now, halfway through this. But anyway, he's got a lifetime 3.79 ERA. Plus, his name is Giovanni.
Yeah, he had a 5.42 ERA last year, Dan, and a 6.5 K9. Go back to failing free agents' physical so you can sign them cheaper, you insidious prick.
Jerry, come on now. Have you forgotten about that video of you and your dog and the Skippy peanut butter?
You're going, now you're blackmailing me, huh? But that was my dog.
That rule doesn't apply here, Jerry, baby. You really want Giovanni Gallardo.
God damn it, Dan. Fine, who do you want?
Seth Smith. We don't have anybody that can hit only righties and play the outfield.
I'm sorry, I lost my spot in the script here. Okay, what about Hyunsoo Kim? He had a 839 OPS against righties. Maybe it was 389. I don't freaking know. He's good. What?
Who?
Oh, God damn it, Dan. I'm hanging up.
I think that was far more beneficial.
Yeah, I totally got lost in the character, so I really kind of forgot what we were talking about.
Well, you really got into the DePoto personality there, I feel like.
I don't think that you could talk as ourselves, so I figured I had to do something, but yet I wasn't given a chance to prep, so I just kind of did my trucker Jim voice.
Of course.
Who is an as of yet undebuted character that I do plan on doing at some point.
Right, we do need to debut trucker Jim. I wonder if he knows Beef Eater Jim.
They could do a segment together, I suppose, but you need to really work on your Beef Eater Jim voice. You do remember Trucker Jim's catchphrase.
Boy, I tell you what, I don't know.
Yeah, he says that about pretty much every. Boy, I tell you what, I don't know. God. I hate to ruin it and give it away on this just kind of throwaway line here, but I've been working on Trucker Jim for years now.
That's true. Okay, we're going to take a quick break here for a promo and be right back.
Get nasty.
Well, hi there, Bucketeers. We are sponsored again today by the Owner's Box app, which is a free app that you can get from the iTunes store. If you play DFS, and I know you do, and I know you don't want to lose your money, say, you know what really sucks is when you pick a player in DFS and they don't even play. Then you lose money. Well, you can be notified by the Owner's Box app if your player is scratched anytime that there's a late replacement, for example, the NBA. Those late scratches happen all the time. So this way you get notified. You don't have to sit in front of your computer all night long trying to guard against your players being a late scratch. This also works not just for NBA, MLB, NFL, NHL. Any sport you want, whether you're just a fan of a team or whether you're a DFS player, you can get all the information that you need, even on a very granular level, from the Owner's Box app. Go check it out on the iTunes Store right now.
Get nasty.
All right, we have returned and we're done with all the trades that have occurred since our last episode. So we're going to do just the signings now. And we're going to start off with one that we actually missed last time. That's Matt Holliday going to the Yankees for 1 year. So are you interested in the Holliday at all?
I would say yes. I mean, there's no reason to expect that he can't be just as good as Carlos Beltran was, which was really good. In the same spot, basically.
Fair enough.
No, yes. I mean, he's not as good. I mean, obviously, he's not as good as he used to be, but, you know, he's 36. He feels like one of those guys that's going to play till they're 40 to me for some reason. Not really sure why. I mean, just, you know, like Carlos Beltran has, and he's still going strong, to be honest with you. I mean, 2015, Or wait, no, yeah, 2015 was the year he pretty much was had lost to injury, but he's hit 20 home runs two of the last 3 years, so I just think 20, 25 homers in Yankee Stadium, I mean, I could see it pretty easily. I think he's going to have value.
Yeah, no, I like it. He still maintained a really nice 38.5 hard contact rate last year. Walk rate definitely dropped off precipitously.
Yeah, that was the bad thing about last year.
Yeah, but for a 30% hard contact rate, 253 BABIP, ridiculously low. Even though his, his line drive rate dipped to 14%, so that's going to be part of it. But really not too much more ground balls. I don't know. That'll even out a little bit. I do like him for a bit of a bounce back after a pretty weak season last year. Aroldis Chapman also back to the Yankees. Number one closer?
He's in consideration. I mean, I don't think there's much value difference with him there, so.
Yeah. He's
but yeah, I mean, like him, Zach Britton, I don't know. I mean, he's up there.
Yeah, not too much to analyze there with the change of venue. He's just so good, it doesn't matter where he pitches. So we'll move on to Dexter Fowler, who signed a 5-year contract with the Cardinals. So what do you think of his value? Obviously, he was pretty great with the Cubs last year.
I like him going to St. Louis. He's always kind of I feel like Dexter Fowler is always underrated. Definitely in OBP leagues. He had a 393 OBP last year. He's always one of those solid, gets a 100-point boost from his OBP to his batting average. I mean, his batting average fluctuates, but his walk rate really has been pretty steady for the last 3 years. He doesn't offer a ton of anything else, a ton, but he's always just kind of solid. Last year was 13-13. The year before he was 17-20. So I think he's kind of one of the borderline 20-20 guys that you can get pretty late. So I like him. I think it's a good spot for him to go.
Yeah, definitely one of the best destinations as far as I'm concerned. Like you said, he's definitely, if you're in an OBP league, like we'll talk about a little bit later, he's one of those guys that gets a big bump, always double-digit walk rate. Should hit the top of that lineup and score a bunch of runs again. Ivan Nova returns to Pittsburgh on a 3-year deal. Any interest in him?
No.
Okay.
But then I thought I would just end it.
Well, it's funnier that way.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a deep league guy for me. He was better once you factored in the Ray Searage.
Even just NL only flyer at this point for me. It could totally work out for you, but yeah. There's probably a different NL only Pittsburgh flyer that I would consider, which I might mention later.
Interesting. All right. We shall sit around with bated breath until that.
Pins and needles and such.
Well, I'm already doing that. Like, okay. I don't know what your cushion is made out of, but.
Pins and needles. Okay. I checked real quick.
Okay. That's good. Wellington Castillo to the Orioles on a 1-year, $6 million contract.
I got to tell you, the one thing about Wellington Castillo is just the best nickname in the world, Beef Wellington.
Beef, yeah. Where's the beef?
Exactly. If you got a better nickname than that, other than Beef Eater Jim, I don't know what it is.
Well, I mean, Country Breakfast is pretty great, but Beef Wellington is probably better.
I agree. Because beef is right in there. Other than if you're Beef Supreme from the movie Idiocracy.
Right.
But that was his real name.
He's a stud, that guy.
God, I love Beef Supreme. But yeah, I mean, Castillo, sadly, one of the best catchers in baseball or fantasy baseball. Just that's how bad the position is. I mean, just because he doesn't destroy you in batting, he's not good at batting average, but he doesn't hit 180. Right. We hit 260 last year and 15 home runs. So he's actually a usable catcher. Like you said, you want to get a catcher in your two catcher league that won at least one that's not terrible. So Wellington Castillo could be that, and Baltimore is a great place to play.
Yeah, it's going to be a great lineup there. He had 68 RBI last year, and I think he could even build on that with such a strong lineup in Baltimore. Just a great place to hit. Not that Arizona wasn't, obviously, but.
Yeah, but I mean, I feel like, like you said, the lineup. I mean, everybody in Baltimore hits home runs. Sometimes it's just, being on a good team can maybe, maybe there were some games in Arizona when he forgot that he was even allowed to hit home runs.
I think so.
Did anything. Even Paul Goldschmidt only hit like 22 last year. So.
Yeah. Well, speaking of forgetting to hit home runs, we've got Ben Revere signing a one-year contract with the Angels. He was absolutely abysmal last year. Do you think he provides any late-round value for steals?
I'd say yes, just because steals are so hard to come by all of a sudden. But yeah, I mean, he didn't steal any bases last year, so that's weird. One of the weirdest.
Never on base.
Well, I guess, but I mean,
260 OBP.
Yeah, I don't know what happened to him. It's really weird to see what's happened to him over the last three seasons. You know, he goes from 49 steals down to 31 steals down to 14. His OBP drops all the way down to 260. I think it might have been just a lost season last year. I'm not ruling out a bounce back.
Yeah, he was a bit nicked up last year, and I think when you're the type of player like he is, where you just kind of beat the ball on the ground and try and beat the throw to first, you know, 55% ground ball rate last year, career 61% ground ball rate, then if you've got an injury that's going to slow you down, that's going to kill you, and I think that's what happened last year. So, yeah, I would be interested. I guess he's going to platoon with what's his name? Stupid Cameron Maybin.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I guess he is there as well. Yeah, I mean, you'd like him to play every day, but I mean, you don't really need him to. If he can steal 30 bases, he could steal 30 bases in a part-time role, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Well, and what I would say, too, is that, I mean, if there's anybody that you can depend on to get injured,
it's Cameron Maybin.
So I think Revere could find himself in a full-time job, you know, several weeks into the season.
Good spot. You know, you get to hit in the top of the lineup, presumably anyway. Mike Trout's there. It's not bad. Not a bad deal.
Indeed. All right. We got another speedster heading out to Oakland, Rajai Davis on a one-year contract.
Is he really heading there, or is he just staying there? Did he leave at some point?
He's going to head there, stay for a little while, play some baseball.
Hasn't he been in Oakland like the past 8 years?
He was on the Indians last year, Tard.
Oh, prior to that, then, hadn't he been in Oakland for the past 8 years?
He spent some time there.
I think he was there for quite some time. I forgot about that. Didn't he hit like an important home run or something?
He hit like a lot of home runs last year.
Well, 12. I mean, anyway, yeah.
I mean, for him, yeah. That was a career high for him. I forgot to put that into context.
Okay, anyway, I mean, I forgot that he even went to Cleveland. I just think of him as an Oakland A. He'd been there for a really long time. I used to like to draft him, actually, because he was just one of those people that was, or not even draft him, but if you're in a shallow, you just pick him up when he's healthy and drop him when he got hurt and pick him back up when he's healthy and drop him when he got hurt. So, and I mean, I think that in 2015, in our Dynasty League, I owned him for like, you know, a good chunk of that season, and I dropped him because he only stole 18 bases that year. He was probably just more injured, and then last year he played almost the full season and stole 43 bases. So as long as he can, when he stays healthy, he's really good.
Yeah, for what it's worth, the last time he was with the A's was 2010.
That does not sound right to me. Where the hell was he after that?
Blue Jays and the Tigers.
Boy, maybe I'm thinking of a different. Oh, I'm thinking of Coco Crisp.
That'll do it.
God damn it. His Coco Crisp has never left the A's.
He has a much more delicious name.
Well, yeah. God damn, that's what it was. But he also went to Cleveland, Coco Crisp.
Okay, I'll believe you on that.
But I mean, he had been in Oakland. Coco Crisp had been in Oakland for like 5 years in a row or something.
Yeah. Anyway, I mean, Rajai, ideally a guy who you just deploy against lefties, but... it was weird. He was actually better against righties last year. A career 341 weighted on base against lefties and 291 against righties. But then last year, 292 versus lefties and 308 wOBA against righties. So, not terrible. Serviceable, I suppose, against righties. So, yeah, I think he's another great. I wouldn't expect 12 home runs again, obviously, but always a great source of speed.
I think the most important thing to remember about all of this is that Coco Crisp was in Oakland from 2010 to 2015. So I was correct.
Of course, that is the most important thing to take away.
Yeah, of that Rajai Davis discussion.
Okay, Ian Desmond signs a five-year contract with the Rockies to play first base?
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely not going to be at shortstop. He's definitely not going to be at third. He's really never played second, and their outfield's pretty good, so you're kind of running out of options as to where to play him.
Yeah, I still think that they sort
of really the only
him.
Position that they kind of need him for. But
yeah, it, was such, it seems like such a waste. I mean, he actually turned into a really good center fielder last year, and now you're putting him at friggin' first base.
Well, he can't play short. He was always a decent shortstop. Yeah,
he could. Can, but they're going to have presumably Trevor Story back.
Well, yeah, I mean, they don't need him to play short. They don't need a shortstop.
So. I don't know what I'm still thinking that they're going to try to trade either Blackman or Cargo and ship him back out to the outfield.
Mm, yeah, I suppose. But right now their outfield's very crowded.
Indeed, it is. So obviously you got the Coors effect. Desmond, he had a much better first half than second half last year. Finished the year hitting .285, .335, .446.
He was great last year. I mean, you can't really deny that. If he was your shortstop last year and you got him in like the 13th round or whatever, you were tickled pink.
Yeah, 22-21 home runs and steals.
Yep.
So yeah, I like him. I mean, obviously, pretty much any hitter going to Coors Field is value up.
Yeah, yeah, always. But and he'll be outfield only, I'm sure, next year. But
yeah, until he gets his 20 games or whatever at first base. So we'll see. I'm going to start doing my rankings here pretty shortly. He might be a top 12, top 10 first baseman for me.
I was going to say he could be top 10, but I haven't looked at really anything. I mean, there's like five guys that are just studs, and he's different than everybody else at the position because he's a base stealer. But
exactly, yeah. So speaking of first baseman, Edwin Encarnacion signed a 3-year, $60 million contract with the Indians.
Mm-hmm. I don't think we really need. I mean, it's cool. I would have rather seen him stay in Toronto, but yeah. It's good place for him to land. Doesn't make any difference at all to me for his fantasy value. He could play on the moon. He could play on the sun. He'd still hit home runs. Really, ballpark irrelevant with him. I mean, if he went to Coors, it would be fun. Then it'd be value up, I guess. But other than that, he could hit the ball out of the entire United States. It would be tremendous.
Thank you, Joseph Donald Trump. Yeah, I agree. Nothing much to analyze there. We got Kobe Rasmus signing a deal, a one-year deal with the Rays. He's going to platoon with Mikey Maituk.
Yeah, he's never going to face a lefty again.
Yeah, it's a good platoon.
Not that he should, but I mean.
No, yeah, absolutely. Trevor Plouffe also just signed a one-year deal with the A's, which is going to push Ryan Healy to part-time at third base, maybe part-time DH. I can't imagine that they're going to, you know, they pushed Danny Valencia off third base to the bench to get Healy more playing time last year, so I can't imagine.
And then
that.
Seattle.
Yeah, they pushed him all the way to, they pushed the hell out of him. But
that's a long push.
I can't imagine that they signed
It's like as big of a push as an underdog, you know, and kids, you give kids push on the swings, and then sometimes they want underdog. I think it's that size.
Wow, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Underdog size.
They underdogged him all the way to Seattle.
Jeez. That's just brutal.
Yeah,
I guess. I mean, is Plouffe going to be even relevant for, like, how deep does Lee have to be before you're interested in Trevor Plouffe?
AL only?
Yeah, I pretty much agree. I don't.
That's what he was in the. I mean, that's what he was to me on the Twins. I mean, I guess you could have owned him in a 15-16er, but he was kind of like the back end of that. You know, like he could hit some home runs, but we know what he is pretty much.
Yeah, and what he is decidedly mediocre, especially for fantasy.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're gonna take a quick break and come back and talk some dynasty. All right, we are back here on the Nastiest of Casts, and we're going to dive again into the 2017 Dynasty mock draft that we did with some of our fantastic listeners and some experts, and we're going to pick out some of the best and worst picks of the draft, but we're also going to go over our own team. So do you want to start with your own team, Joe?
I mean, I'll have to pull it up here quick. Well, let's start with Jesse's.
Okay.
Let's pick on somebody else that's all right. Not our own size.
Sure.
Oh, that was mean, wasn't it?
that was pretty cruel.
He'll never listen to this.
No, of course not. He went with Corey Seager and Noah Syndergaard. He had the 15th pick. So he went
it's a tough spot to be in. Although, I mean, I guess maybe it's not that bad. I kind of like being on the wheel. Just a general draft strategy thing there. Do you like the wheel or not? But
yeah, it's not bad. I'll work with it. I guess it's not my favorite. I think I'd rather be sort of in the middle somewhere. Because then, you know, when you're at the wheel, if you got a guy you really like, it's going to be 30 picks until you get back.
It leads to some reaches. Yeah. But so I don't mind reaching, and I kind of like just taking two guys bang bang and, you know, getting her done.
Bang bang into your mouth, as they say.
Yep. That is what that song originally was written at by I think it was written by God, I can't think of that guy's name. What is the guy's name that's on Comedy Bang Bang all the time? Sings way too much.
I don't know. Stupid. Was it Benny Schwartz?
Yeah, Ben Schwartz. Yep.
There you go. Anyway.
I hope that there's some, like, if we do have new listeners, I really hope that there's some new listeners out there that also listen to Comedy Bang Bang so they can pick up on some of that.
Yeah, I don't know. There's probably a half dozen overlap out there. But yeah, they definitely get a few extra jokes in each show if you listen to both us and the Comedy Bang Bang podcast.
Do you think Scott's going to have us on soon?
Scotty Ox?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, for sure.
I assume we're going to be on any day now.
Yeah. I haven't heard from him yet, but...
No, me neither, but I assume he just has been taking... You know, he's busy. He'll get back to us pretty quick.
So, Jesse then, the next time around, took Kluber and Mazzara, 45 and 46. Can't say I argue with any of those. 75 and 76, then he got DeGrom and McCutchen back-to-back. I think that's great value on DeGrom.
On DeGrom, yeah. I was looking through and kind of seeing some... What I thought were, you know, just... I was just going through the draft results, and if a pick struck me as good, then I was like, ooh, like I would have taken them. And what the funny thing is when you do that and I end the draft, I just don't remember it anymore. So a lot of times I'd be like, oh, I kind of like that player, and then I took him. Well, obviously, because, you know, I like the player. I took the players that I liked, so it makes sense. Yeah. But anyway, the DeGrom pick was one that kind of jumped out at me as being good value. McCutchen, no, I don't like that, but I did like the DeGrom pick. His pitching at the beginning is pretty ridiculous. Good start, anyway.
Yeah, having a three-headed monster of Syndergaard, Kluber, DeGrom, that's pretty sweet. Yeah, we're both sort of out on McCutchen. There's a lot of people that are on the McCutchen bounce-back train next year. I am not one of them. I don't believe you are either.
Oh, in on that train?
Yeah, on the McCutchen.
Decidedly off the train.
Yes, okay.
I just think. I mean, whatever. He doesn't suck or anything like that. But he's. I don't think he's ever going to return to a second or third round value fantasy wise.
Yeah, 76 overall, not the absolute worst though.
But it's also dynasty, and you know how many even mediocre years are you going to get out of him? If it was a redraft, then yeah, cool. I'm good with that.
Right. Yep. Absolutely. So then he went a little bit younger then with the Jake Lamb as next pick.
I love Lamb.
I love Lamb. Who doesn't? And then Mark Trumbo after that. And putting that into context a little bit, I took Chris Davis, I think, just a little bit before that. And this is to refresh those memories out there. This is an OBP league and quality starts instead of batting average and wins. So getting a guy like Chris Davis or even a guy like Chris Carter instead of a Mark Trumbo, since he just does not walk, and those guys walk a lot. Even you took Lucas Duda very late in the draft.
Yeah, that was really late.
Yeah, I just about as soon have Duda. I mean, not quite. I'd still rather have Trumbo. But
oh, then Trumbo. Yeah, your Davis pick was, I mean, I don't even like him, but it was still a really good pick just because it was super late and he does walk, but... You know, with Trumbo, it's like he's going to be an interesting guy next year because how do you value this difference from, you know, goes from 22 homers to 47, and what do you believe?
Well, I believe that home runs were up across the board. So I'm, you know, obviously it's the best possible landing spot in Baltimore. Just a great place to hit. The balls seem to be wound a little tighter than they once were. And so I think that, He'll keep the power up. I wouldn't be surprised. Depending on where he goes, you know, I would expect 30 to 35 home runs again, but I don't see the perfect storm of 47 again.
Yeah, but that is a big difference. If you know, the reason that he had such, you know, 47 and, you know, the 35 is great, but 47 makes you,
Yeah, there are maybe a handful of people in all of Major League Baseball that I would even think can possibly hit 47 home runs, like Stanton.
And if it was before last season, I wouldn't have listed him as one.
No. I mean, you're talking about like Chris Davis and Giancarlo Stanton.
Yeah,
and,
those
guys.
Yeah,
like that. But not so much Trumbo. So then maybe a guy who could, Joey Gallo. Yeah.
It's too early, I think, to take him probably. But at the same time, he could hit 40. He is more likely. I would have said he would be more likely to have a 47 homer season than Trumbo. But, you know, he's just got to come up and sink or swim at some point. You know, is he going to be a major leaguer or not? That's a risk reward pick for sure, because I could see him being an all-star and I could see him being out of baseball.
Right.
You know, I mean, if you just can't hit at some point, you just can't hit. Or, I mean, or becoming like a guy that hits 210 and, you know, hits 20 homers and plays sparingly, like just a pinch hitter, basically.
Yeah.
Guy, you know.
Hopping right along, you can just pick out anybody else that stands out to you. I would say Jerks and Profar at 195 is an interesting. Like, he's still really young, you know.
Yeah,
he's lost a lot of development time because of all the injuries, shoulder injuries and whatnot. But in a dynasty league, sweet, you know, I'll take him. And what was it, the 13th round?
Yeah, there's always a chance that pick pays off. I mean, you never, you know, I mean, that's also probably high risk, high reward, but you're not, I mean, there's a wide range of outcomes on what he could do. Not much risk in round 13, but yeah, I like that pick. Other ones that I like the Randall Grichuk pick in round 18, just really late, solid player.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, Jesse's a kind of, you know, he takes guys he knows, so there's a lot of familiar names that dropped a little bit probably, but are going to be productive. Like Ian Kennedy still usually strikes out 180 guys every single season. You know, Francisco Liriano, he got super late, but he's probably going to give you 190 strikeouts.
Yeah, I would draft either one of those guys personally, but...
Whatever, but he got Beef Wellington, you know, really late. That's a good pick.
There you go.
For round 23, I mean, so...
Sure.
And anybody that could take Joe Mauer is the last pick. I'm impressed with your chutzpah.
23, good word. Yeah, $23 million. Guess what his war was last year?
I don't know, zero.
One.
That was close.
Sweet life. All right, let's move on to your team.
Okay, let me find it then. Where would it be, at the beginning or the end?
Directly below Jesse's.
Oh, well, you're alphabetical or something?
Yep.
That's kind of weird. Okay. I was, you know, lucky enough to get the second pick, so I got Trout because Mookie went number one. So, yeah. I started off Trout, Polanco. I thought that was, you know, decent. I took Yoan Moncada super early, kind of against what I normally would do, but I just figured he would be a huge trade ship if nothing else. Markel Franco, and Steven Strasburg, Matt Carpenter, Kenley Jansen. The thing I probably didn't do well at all is I didn't think at all about like balance or anything. I just if my pick was up, I just took whoever I liked the most. So I mean, that's partially because this was a mock draft and not a real team, and I wasn't spending my whole days just going over and thinking of my team needs. I was just drafting dudes. But you know, I mean,
yeah,
I like a lot of the players I got, but it's my team. You should probably tell me which picks you don't like.
Well, I was actually going to start off with one that I did like, which is a rarity.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron Nola in the 12th round that stuck out.
Yeah.
And Dylan Bundy also.
Yeah, those two picks were, I think it was back to back.
Yep. 12th round and 13th round, 179 and 182.
Yeah. Dylan Bundy was really starting to come into his own last year. I mean, he's in Baltimore, so that's pretty scary, but I definitely like that pick. I took him in like the 9th round, you know, when we did our real dynasty draft like 4 years earlier, you know, when he was just a prospect. So I've always been a fan, and he really kind of started to prove it last year. He didn't have a chance to put it together for a full season yet, but he could turn into a number two starter. So could Aaron Nola, so.
Yeah, so I think that's good value there. Let's see.
Duda, I like was the in Kent Giles pick, actually.
Yeah, that, I was going to mention that too in the 17th round.
Strikeout closer, super late.
Yeah, he was really up and down last year, so his stock seems to be a little bit diminished. So I would take advantage of that, like you did, if you can. Let's see, moving down a little bit. Oh, who was I going to? Oh, Byung-ho Park, actually. You know, he was sort of a Statcast darling while he was out there. He had the most barrels per batted ball event, or one of them. I think he was top three or top five or something like that, meaning that basically whenever he hit the ball and he didn't strike out, he just freaking crushed it.
That's what it is. That's what it's like when you watch him. So
yeah, and so I mean, I think that, you know, he really sucked. He had a wrist injury, and it really killed him. He tried to play through it. Didn't work. Ended up having surgery and missing, like, the whole second half of the season. But if you're in a dynasty league and, you know, you nabbed him in the 35th round, I'm all on board with that. I think he could be just as good as like a Chris Carter.
I took him there and like I had him on the queue for 5 or 6 rounds, like, and I just didn't because I don't know. Yeah, partially just because he's so he was so bad last year that I kind of assumed nobody would want him. But like I've already made one offer for him in the other Dynasty League, and I'm going to continue making offers until that guy gives it to me. I mean, we'll see, I guess. He might just never even check his email, so I might not get a chance before the draft. But
yeah. I will say
I love looking, you know, numbers are important, and I like to check all the numbers and all those different things. And, I mean, his numbers, there's nothing good about them. But when I see a player and it just he passes the eye test and I think he just looks like a stud, sometimes it's worth taking a chance on it. And like you said, in the 35th round, who gives a shit? But he just – when I've watched him play, he looks like just – he mashes everything.
Yeah.
Everything he hits is a line drive.
Yeah, the numbers definitely back that up. Although I will say the next pick at 539 overall, Rosny Castillo, how the mighty have fallen. I don't even like him there. I just think he's not a major leaguer at all. I'm not even going to take a chance on him in a dynasty startup.
It was just, it was super late. I was like, yeah, what the hell? But I did get Ben Revere next. There's some cheap speed.
Yes, so I do like that.
And Nate Carnes. Second to last round. God, I made some good picks.
Oh my God, you're a stud. Okay, let's shut up about you. Let's talk about me.
Okay, yeah. I gotta find you here.
Just down a little bit.
We are right in a row there. Okay, yeah, I can go through it here and kind of I went through mine, but whatever. You started off with Kershaw at number 13. Great value. Lucky you.
Yeah, and I kind of thought that the value would be depressed even in redraft leagues last year after he went down with the back injury and missed so much time with that. But I pulled up some early NFBC ADP, and he's still being taken 5th overall.
He just should go 5th overall every year.
Until he
proves otherwise. But yeah, so Kershaw, Springer. I mean, Springer, I think is. I was surprised you did that. I feel like. For me, I feel like he's value down in Dynasty, maybe to the point like I would have probably been cool if you took him in the 3rd round.
What's
I don't
better?
Know if he's just the steals were so bad last year. I just don't think he has any stolen base upside anymore.
Well, I think
he got caught more than he stole.
Yeah, we mentioned it on the last episode. That was one that I immediately regretted because I could have had Starling Marte, who I think went with the very next pick.
Yeah, Marte. I'd much rather. And I just traded for George Springer, and I've always been one of his biggest fans. But like,
something that went into deciding between those two for me, and again, I did it fairly quickly, but OBP league, George Springer does walk a lot, but like Marte's batting average is so great that it sort of equals out. So, and the speed is harder to come by, so I would have rather had Marte.
That's definitely true. But you got some speed in Pollock. I like the Trevor Story pick, even though I don't love Trevor Story, just because it's middle infield and you got 4th round. So Benintendi could be a steal at that point.
Yes.
Just so you can I like the Benintendi pick. I like the Cespedes pick. I like the Chris Davis pick actually. So your the beginning of the draft went pretty well for you. When I look down the list, I mean it's I don't like Adam Jones. I'm not a fan, but you got him pretty late.
Yeah, there was 9th round. I looked at that, too. I didn't even remember taking him. I don't love it. I drafted Victor Robles in the next round. I would have just as soon Robles, whatever it's supposed to be. I would have just as soon drafted him. And then after I actually took Robles in the 10th round, Brinson went immediately after that, I believe, to McQuiston. I would rather just had Robles and...
Brinson,
yeah.
Yeah, I don't... Yeah, I'm just... I mean, Adam Jones, he's good. It's just he's getting... He's getting old, and you might get 2 years out of him before he really falls off. I could be totally wrong about the guy, but I just feel like he's going to fall off quickly.
Well, in OBP league, again, a guy who absolutely does not walk.
He doesn't walk, yeah. He's worse than OBP for sure. Some picks I didn't really like that I remember just from when I saw your pick, I was just like, Ryan Healy. I mean, I know you believe in him. You believe in him way more than I do. I still think it's early. Hasn't proven it enough to me, I guess.
Yeah, I think he can be a pretty consistent source of power and batting average, so... 12th round in a 15-team league. I was okay with it.
I like your next players more than him, like Betances. I actually like the Betances picks, just strikeouts, but he's not going to be a closer anymore.
No, yeah, he was when we drafted, and then into the draft, it was like, well, shit, I guess that's not going to happen.
Yeah. Oh, well. I mean, and yeah, we probably should go move on because we got about 4 more minutes before it's coconut time. But I thought Travis Jankowski was an interesting pick, too. It's pretty early for a guy that's a one-year speed and one-year speed-only guy. But, you know, maybe you like that pick.
Well, I do like Jankowski just because he offers so much speed. He should hit at the top of the lineup. I actually traded for Jankowski in the prestigious Dynasty Baseball League.
Really? I owned him. When did I even drop him?
At some point, but Mike picked him up. Or not Mike, Ryan. Anyway, yeah, Swaggy V, Daniel Vogelbach, picked him 22nd round, got to own him. Amir Garrett, I like a lot. I got him in the 23rd round. I think he's got number 2 upside as far as prospects go. Then sort of, as we went down, I just tried to get sort of, I don't know, you know, set up guys, cheap closers, crappy guys that can get me some points this year. Because at a certain point, you know, my prospects were pretty good. And
yeah, I mean, my team, I have like 6 prospects probably, and they all suck. So, you know, I definitely.
Yeah. No, I love my prospects. Jorge Mateo, yeah. Another guy who should steal just a buttload of freaking bases. Mitch Keller for the Pirates. He's really shot up. His value really shot up last year. So let's see. Luis Urias, he was one that I didn't really love. If I had to do that pick again in the 38, I mean, you're talking about pick 558. But still, like, I would rather have gone. Like, he's got really great plate discipline, really good hit tool, but doesn't offer very much at all in the way of steals or power. So I would have rather gone with like a sort of a pop-up guy, Fernando Romero. Actually, he's a twin Joe.
So everybody likes that.
Yeah, well, Romero, he came back, he had Tommy John surgery, 90 and a third innings across Class A and High A last year, 189 ERA, 90 strikeouts in those 90 and a third innings, 0.9 whip, only gave up 1 home run. So he's a guy who may end up being a reliever, but still I'd rather have him than just sort of a plate discipline batting average guy in Luis Urias. But one of my favorite picks, maybe my favorite pick, Garrett Richards, I ended up getting in the 17th round. The guy who decided not to have Tommy John surgery. Instead, he just went with rehab. So, but, if that works out for him, then that will be, you know, a pretty sweet rotation between him, Kershaw, Matt Harvey, who I also picked back in the 8th round as sort of a reclamation guy. I could have had Garrett Cole. I immediately regretted not having Garrett Cole instead of Matt Harvey.
Instead of Harvey? Yeah. I mean, they both have downside, I guess. You know, Garrett Cole definitely wasn't as good this year as he was the year before, but kind of regressed a little bit.
I also like Eduardo Rodriguez, just real quick on him before we get out of here. 223.
Well, we were going to give like best overall picks, I thought, so.
Well, is he yours or what?
No, I'm just saying I have some if you want me to list them.
Oh, okay, yeah, just real quick on Rodriguez before we go. First half, 644 K9, 368 walks per nine, 859 ERA in just under 30 innings. After he came back in July, because he got sent down, he got some stuff straightened out, he really increased his slider usage up to 30%, and it you know, he threw a little bit less as the season wore on, but it really worked out for him. The second half, he ended up striking out over a batter per inning, lowering his walk rate, and a 324 ERA over 787 and two-thirds. So he's a guy who, like, if you look at him on the season, kind of sucks. But the second half, I really like Eduardo Rodriguez a lot.
All right. Fair enough. I just wrote down, like, 5 or 6 picks that when they were made during the draft, I thought, oh, man, I wish I would have thought of that, or I wish I would have taken him. Like, people kind of like picks that were stolen from me. So I don't know that it's, like, the best picks of the draft. But here's some that I would throw out that when people made the pick, I wanted to have that player. J.D. Martinez got taken in round 4. I thought about him in round 3, but I was, like, at the top of round 3. So I thought he was good value there, like a 30-home run outfielder. To me, he's kind of comparable to – like the George Springer and the other guys that we were talking about. I'm trying to think of the player that he's kind of comparable to Stanton, who went all the way up at like pick number 10 and just, you know, cheaper. Yeah. Round 7, I liked Alex Reyes pick, a guy that could be a number 1. Just, you know, hasn't had a chance to put it together yet. That was Evan Booth, but, you know, a buzzy guy. I like the situation, the team. He's a big weed smoker, and I like that too.
Of course.
You got to relax. You got to chill.
Yeah, you got to mellow out.
Yeah. Gausman went in round 8 to Tim McLeod. I thought that was a good pick. I don't know. I mean, I'll never quit Kevin Gausman. I mean, I don't know. I just can't get over him.
Yeah, no, I like him a lot going into this year. You know, we've been on the golf train for a long time.
Yeah, he went one pick after Johnny Cueto, and he's like, he's so much younger, and, you know, I just think he still has a ton of upside. I mean, he may never get there, but I just think it's there. So, I mean, I'm going to keep getting in on that train until somebody knocks me off of it and runs me over with it. I like Drew Hutchinson in round 17. That was the pirate I was talking about, or Hutchison.
But ah, yes.
Totally fascinated by him in Pittsburgh this year. I loved him that one year in Toronto, and he just did nothing. I mean, horrible, horrible, horrible. Yeah. But I'm going to like him again this year. That was Nick Duran. Really liked that pick a lot. And when he took him, I was like, God damn, you know, I wanted him a couple rounds later. And it was one of those where, like, I was thinking, like, you know, three. I just didn't think people would be that in on him. And obviously these dudes are all pretty sharp. So I'll be interested to see what his ADP is, see where he goes, see if I'll be able to be in on him as much as I want to. And then it just this one I had thought about doing it, but I just wasn't sure where the value on him was going to be. But Blake Swihart went in round 27 to Jim Finch. I think that he still has upside, and that is super late for a guy that the year before was people were thinking he was a top five catcher, like in the real major leagues.
Yeah, the only thing about him is he might just be an outfielder. I think
he might be an outfielder, but even if he's around 27, young guy playing in Boston.
Sure. Yeah. So
like at the time he made it, I just thought like, oh, I wish I'd have done that.
Yeah. I'll just go through some of my favorites then real quick. And we'll
I got a coconut you though. So you can go ahead and sign us off. I have to go because I got to pick up my daughter from school. So, you know, Nate can list his players or not, but I got to get out of here.
Okay. I'll catch you next time, Joe.
All right, coconut.
Coconut. All right, I'll just polish this off here. In the 10th round, pick 122 overall, Van, friend of the show, Van, took DJ LeMahieu. I really wish that I had taken him a round or two before. He's one of the guys who had a great contact, one of the highest contact rates in the league, as well as hard hit rate. So I think that tremendous batting average is something, especially in Coors, that can repeat, and the second base is just a garbage heap. So I regret not going in sooner on him. I ended up just basically punting the position, and that is pretty ugly. So let's see. In the 14th round, Andrew McQuiston took Chris Carter. We touched on that a little bit earlier. A guy who, in an OBP league, his value is much, much higher because you don't have that batting average just tanking you. Let's see. Coop, our buddy Coop, took Josh Hader at pick 380. A lot of the Brewers prospects, you know, they go out to, I think, Colorado Springs is their AAA affiliate. And, like, they... Your ERA is just going to go through the roof there. So even if you can buy low on him, he had a really inflated ERA last year. I think he's still going to be a great pitcher. So he's a guy to target if you got some people in your league who aren't especially sharp, who can just they'll just look at the ERA and be like, oh, this guy sucks. And then at pick 464, we had Evan Booth again taking Robert Gesselman from the Mets. I think he's a guy who could make a pretty good impact this year. Nice little sleeper pick there. Ryan Zimmerman to Alan Bulger, reigning second place champion of the Nasty Cast Podcast League from 2016. Zimmerman, I mean, at pick 503, it's so cheap that, you know, they owe him a lot of money, so he's going to play. You know, if he's healthy, then he could be really good. And at that point, if he is not healthy or he sucks, you can just drop him. He's one of the last guys on your bench. So I like that pick a lot there. Ison Diaz in round 36 to Walter. He's a nice up-and-coming prospect. And then shout out the 40th and final round. Coop took Andrew Triggs, who might be my deep sleeper of the year out in Oakland. He really outpitched the ERA that he put up. I'm not going to take the time to pull up his page right now, but he was sort of like a happy accident for the Athletics last year. They're kind of just throwing stuff up against the wall. They're out of starters. He is a converted reliever, but he really developed a changeup when he was relied upon towards the end of the year. He ended up finishing the year on the DL because of a back injury. But, I mean, he's going to be part of the rotation out in Oakland this year just because Oakland sucks. But he could provide, like, he's not going to go off the boards. I mean, this was pick 590, so he's in even in a 15-team league, he's like the last guy that you would have to pick. But I think that he's a guy who he's not going to give you elite strikeouts, but he managed a 50% ground ball rate. And of course, pitching in Oakland is pretty great, you know, as far as easy outs, you know, a lot of foul territory out there. So all that works in his favor. And of course, if he sucks, if he doesn't pull through, then whatever, he's the last guy that you picked. So you can just drop him like a sack of potatoes. So I think, I mean, that's pretty much everybody that I had written down. Obviously, screw you, Mike, for drafting Tim Tebow and ruining all our credibility. We are going to talk to, in the next episode, we're going to talk to Nick Duran, Jim Finch, and Tim McLeod, who all partook in this draft. So I would look for that probably early next week. And also, if you want to look at the results from this draft, we're going to put them up on the fantasyamateurs.com, and so you'll be able to find it there and sort of use it, you know, as a little bit of a barometer for where these guys are going to go. Obviously, not everybody plays in OBP leagues and quality start leagues. That's what I prefer. That's what we prefer for the most part. But still, like, a lot of the value doesn't necessarily change hugely. Like, we pointed out a lot of the players who are a lot better in quality or in OBP. But really, as far as drafting pitchers, not a huge difference between wins and quality starts. You just kind of, to me, that's more in-season roster management. As far as, you know, trying to strike that balance between saves and ratios and just piling up the quality starts, you just have to kind of see what you're working with, see which guys that you can pick up off the wire that work out, hopefully get lucky there while still, you know, grafting your closer handcuffs. But anyway, I'm gonna quit rambling here. Let's see, I think that's everything that I wanted to get to. So until next time, may the fantasy gods shine upon you.